like you threat. Really, y'all don't know this, y'all in danger. I'm a threat. I'm a gamble with your life, cause you know that it's a bet. It's a bet. You know I ain't letting up, my foot is on your neck. Yeah, take my word for it, it's a promise and a threat. Oh, yeah. Really, y'all don't know this, y'all in danger. I'm a threat. I'm a
fuck you, Steve from.
Yes, Bumble. Yeah, fuck you, Steve from Bumble. Most definitely, people. Well, once again, the MCW Bleeding Edge is back to you guys with the episode of 8 of The Last of Us. We are back, people. Sorry for those technical difficulties, but for some reason, we ended up ending the live stream, which we have no idea why, but it did, unfortunately. So, we are back now. And we are happy to be back for you guys. So to refresh your guys' memories, to kind of get us back in the instance of The Last of Us, we're going to show you the promo trailer for episode 8 here. So please play that for us, Sir Jeff.
You won't survive for long out there. There's room for you in our group if you want.
I don't mean to question your sense of mercy, David. She's just another mouth to feed. If we leave her out here, she'll die. Maybe that's God's will.
If the others want to kill you,
let me protect you.
Excellent. Thank you there, sir. Thank you. So, where we were last left off, we were talking about the beginning sequence of this episode, which basically brings us to when Ellie gets the penicillin from the cult leader guy. And we were going around asking people's opinions. We got Jay Rent's opinion. And
Cyber.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Before the penicillin part, we never Nate and I didn't get a chance to talk about the opening.
That I'm getting to you guys.
I apologize, sir. No, my bad. My mic was muted on my own. I had my mic turned off the whole time.
All right. So yeah, we're getting to that. So I was gonna see if are you with us, Nate?
Yes. My apologies for earlier. I meant to hit leave the studio, and I ended up pressing end.
Oh, that's okay.
Well,
J-Rat on my cell phone.
J-Rat
a little different.
J-Rat took it personal. He thought you did that shit to him, like for some reason. So,
no, I was on my cell phone, so the format looks a little different.
Oh, okay.
It happens. Technical difficulties always happen. So, all right. So, Nay, we were asking your thoughts on the beginning of the episode, basically from the intro to up to when Ellie gets the penicillin from the preacher guy, and them having their little conversation before she runs off with the penicillin for Joel. Basically, that little section, we get that intro with the basically the preacher guy talking to his flock. Then we see Ellie, she's hunting, and then Ellie encounters the preacher guy while she's out looking for her kill, and leading up to right when she leaves with the penicillin to Joel. What were your thoughts on that intro there, and any other thing you like to mention about that beginning?
Well, I mean, I caught on to the vibe that the guy was kind of like a little weird. Just the way that he approached her. It seemed like he was under the impression that he could probably like lure her somewhere, is what I was getting the impression of, because he was like, yeah, we have medicine or we have this or whatever. So at first in my head I'm like, don't believe him, he's probably lying. But you know, I saw the desperation that she had when she mentioned the medicine for Joel. So I think she just definitely took a chance there, with the confrontation. I saw how she rushed over to Joel to get him the penicillin into him. And So, you know, clearly she had a feeling of urgency. So she pretty much just took a risk and did it for Joel. So, I mean, there wasn't much for me to really get out of that interaction, except that I thought that the guy was just trying to lure her.
Excellent. Thank you. Yeah, most definitely. I would agree. You can definitely tell that there was more to this guy than meets the eye just in those first kind of couple scenes with him. The beginning section, you know, when we first introduced, and then when he's talking with Ellie, you can definitely tell there was something else amiss about this guy. Like, he was, you know, I felt, like I said, once again, I feel like he was like a cult leader.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Jeff, your thoughts, sir, on that beginning intro, sir?
Oh, well, like I was saying, it's probably the best episode out of the series, without question. Like, there's no question about it. It altogether, from top to bottom, the story itself for the episode and whatnot was very well done. And like I was leaving off before, when David talks to that young girl, you have no fucking idea what he's talking about. You know what I'm saying? Like, it could be like, you don't know what it's about and whatnot. The fact that you can only tie it in the minute that, like, literally in mid-conversation, David drops it on her that he knows exactly from jump, knew that fucking, like, you know, she was the little girl that was with the dude that killed this girl's father, that they're a group of people, you know what I'm saying? Like, seeing the fear in Ellie, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, she felt like a boss there for a minute, but, like, the minute that fucking, like, David's, like in his, kind of, like, manipulated her a little bit, He was already manipulating her from jump, whatnot, and she realized it. She was cognizant. Oh shit, I'm being played. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could see the fear in her. You know what I mean? Like, she wanted out. The deer was gone. She wasn't even concerned about that deer anymore. It wasn't about that, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, how quickly the roles were reversed in that situation. She became the fucking hunter to, like, the hunted, in the fucking flip of a second. You know what I'm saying? And that fucking dichotomy right there was really interesting. I like that a lot. And that showed a lot about David from jump, that he's very well tempered. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, he's a smooth talker. He's a fucking, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's not a cult leader. You know what I'm saying? He's a fucking, you know, he's a fucking Miss Cleo. You know what I mean? Like, you know, he's somebody who can say whatever the fuck he's got to say and knows how to be patient, take his time, intelligent enough to be able to pick people apart. You know what I'm saying? Read things down the line, you know, think down the line and whatnot and everything, and make moves ahead of time. And a big thinker, you know, a big picture kind of person. So obviously I'm not trying to, like, get too heavy into the series and what we read out with him, like, over time. But overall, for one thing, the intro music in the intro reminds me very heavily of Deadwood. It's very, very close. It's very similar to Deadwood. If anybody's ever watched Deadwood before, the intro music is almost identical. It's of the same genre. It's like a hard country music. But I just like the fact that the roles are reversed now. Like, Ellie's in charge to start off the show, the episode, you know, like, she's running the show. Joel's wounded. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I like how these contrasts that we're seeing throughout the course of the series. And I thought this episode did the best job of, like, showing us the contrast. And also giving us something that I've been wanting and begging for kind of inside, and I even mentioned it on the show, saying that I'd love to see flashbacks of Joel and some of the fucked up shit he's done back in the day with fucking, what's her name? What was the girl that he ran with for all those years named?
Putes.
Yes. With Tess and Tommy, all that bad shit that Tommy don't want to talk about and whatnot. Well, we got to see it. Finally, you know what I'm saying? Whatnot, like, what's inside of him? You know what I mean? And that shit was deep, man. You know what I'm saying? To finally see it, I felt rewarded. And I told you, I've been saying it from jump. Ellie's a violent motherfucker, man. She's got that shit in her, man. You can tell. Good. Hats off to the actress that plays her for maintaining her composure in her role and never not giving off that violent vibe at all. Only, like, pulling it out when necessary. But yeah, that's it.
All right. Awesome. Thank you. And hello to Diggs in the comments. Welcome. Welcome. Thank you for stopping on by and checking out our Twitch feed. Thank you. All right. And just to kind of comment more a little bit on the cult leader thing, basically that's what a cult leader is. They're a smooth talker. And just like, you know, in reality, in real world, like David Koresh, you know, the guy from Texas that killed, you know, that was killed and killed all those people in that area and made a religion and stuff like that. That's what they do. They are smooth talkers. That's what they do. So that's why I get that cult leader vibe off of him. And a cult is basically just a giant group of people that follow one person. And that's pretty much what he is. So that's why I keep saying that he's like a cult leader. That's what they do.
No, it's interesting though, Cyber, because as it unfolds, we see that he's not really, you know what I'm saying? Like he's actually like, you know, something that's rare. Somebody that's actually like just playing the role. You know what I mean? But again, I don't want to get too far ahead. That's rare. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, I don't see that, but okay. Okay. Anyways, all right.
Thank you, sir.
Moving on. All right. So after Ellie, like I said, gets the penicillin, she runs back off to Joel to treat him. And when she gets there, she's like kind of talking to Joel, saying, "How do I do this, Joel? Where do I put it?" And basically, she ends up taking the needle and sticks it right where his wound is. And it seems to be injecting him with penicillin every so often. And as she keeps doing it, we notice that the wound is still keeps healing better and better. And that it's definitely making Joel feel better, and he's getting better. And we at that point, too, we also find out, you know, that David, the preacher, or David, one of the guys that's a part of the preacher, he reveals that Joel's the guy that stabbed one of their fellow people of their group. And then as Joel's healing and Ellie's, you know, keeps putting the penicillin in him, she ends up going out to feed the horse, give it some water, and she notices that they followed her back to where she was. And so basically she ends up going back in. And going, Joel, you know, telling Joel and stuff, giving him a knife and stuff that he needs to protect himself, but that she's going to lead them away from him so that they don't kill him. And so then she mounts the horse and starts running and having them follow her. And basically this kind of chase sequence happens. And we have like all this kind of like chasing sequence going on that's pretty interesting through the snow and stuff like that. And it's nothing extravagant, but at the same time, it's still pretty, it's very, the scenery and stuff like that is really cool looking. And so as they're chasing after her, she's trying to get away and they're shooting at her. And eventually they end up hitting her. And she ends up falling off the horse and the horse goes down. And they end up coming up and finding her, and they capture her. At this point, that's when, you know, they take her, you know, basically the preacher goes over and picks her up and tells the guys, you know, okay, a couple of you are going to follow me, and then the other two are going to go and find the other guy and take care of him. So after they start to take her to the camp, the other two are searching for Joel. And we end up seeing Joel basically take them out, basically, and tie them up and stuff like that. And as he's trying to get information out of them to find out where they took Ellie, basically he torches pretty much both the guys and ends up just killing them both, which was really, I thought, really well done, because the stuff he did was just like on point, like getting the information out of them and then just like really like sticking it to them. And I thought it was just a really good way of showing that, yeah, you might be after Joel for killing your one guy, but he's not going to stop now. He's going to keep going and be this, you know, killer. And after that, it goes back, goes finally to Ellie. She's waking up in this cage. The preacher guy's there. And they're at his, you know, the compound that they're at. And she wakes up and she's kind of like, where the hell am I? And, you know, why am I caged? And preacher guy tells her, you know, what's going on, that, you know, yeah, that, you know, he's afraid of her and this kind of stuff. And basically, you know, they kind of have that a little conversation before it cuts away again. But before that, we actually see the people in the clan. Basically, they're being given food after they return, and we see them eating food. And you're kind of like, at first you're like, that they get, the guy gives it to them, is like, what is this? And he's like, it's venison. And you're kind of looking at it going, that looks a little weirder than venison. That doesn't look like venison, kind of. And I think that was kind of a really good tall tale sign there of what's going on there. So we'll stop there. Basically, well, before we really get into Ellie and the preacher's real big conversation. So what were you guys' thoughts on the chase sequence on Joel healing finally, and we get and actually see him in action, his basically his section of him taking out those two guys to find out where they took Ellie, and just what were your guys' thoughts on that little section of the episode? So I'll start with you, Nay.
Well, I mean, like you said, the chase sequence was, it wasn't like, you know, a bunch of action pack or anything, but it definitely had some good visuals as she was mounted on the horse and riding off. You know, she was smart about trying to lead them into a different direction, trying to lead them away from Joel. But, you know, like you said, unfortunately, she got caught up and they grabbed her. You know, in that moment, you know, I'm sure if she was conscious and all that, she would have been, you know, freaking out and stuff. But, you know, like at first, like I'm thinking, like, what are these guys going to do with her now? You know, like I'm thinking all types of weird stuff in my mind, because he definitely gave me like kind of creeper vibes. And, you know, as far as the whole meat situation, that meat definitely didn't look like venison. So, and I kind of like, I kind of questioned whether or not people were like, everybody was aware of what it was they were actually consuming, or whether some people knew. But, you know, they kept on emphasizing on trying to get that guy buried, and they kept on insisting that they were going to wait till after winter to bury him, when what they were really doing was trying to hold it off because they were actually consuming the human meat. So that kind of gave it a whole nother type of horror element to the whole situation. You know, now you got a hostage situation, but then you also have cannibals running a little church group or whatever it was that they were. So, and like, he didn't deny that he was cultish. Like, he kind of admitted it to an extent. He's like, oh, you got me there. You know what I mean? So there was a lot to unpack with that exchange that Ellie had with him throughout the episode. But she definitely carried the whole episode on her back. And, you know, it's unfortunate that, like, in real life, people were criticizing the choice to cast her as a role, but right now, watching it up until this point, I can't see any other actress, especially a young actress, picking up that role. You know, because now she's literally Ellie now. You know, but I think she played a good part after she finally woke up and realized that she was being caged, so she was held captive. So now she knows that she's in deep, you know, and now she just kind of has to figure out how she's going to play her part now, you know. So, but the whole scene, the whole situation with the group and what they've been up to is definitely more nefarious than I actually thought in the beginning going in. So, but, you know, the whole thing was executed well. The guy really gave me creeper vibes. I really thought that he was this crazy guy, you know, something to really be afraid of. So, you know, the actors, they did a great job with the whole portrayal.
Awesome. And what did you think about Joel taking those two guys out after kind of finally awakening from his slumber from being injured?
And Joel's definitely like a savage, you know what I mean? Like, they definitely underestimated him and his ability, being that he was recovering from an infection and earlier on from the stabbing. So, but Joel, he's Joel, you know what I mean? Like, in a situation where it calls for it, he handled the situation the way he, I guess, he used to, when they keep going back to him killing other people or innocents or whatever. But in this case, he actually had a motivation to get to it because he had to get to Ellie. So, you know, but he played his part well too.
Excellent. Thank you. J-Ren, same question, sir, for you, that section and your thoughts, sir.
Okay. I'll have to say that I don't hate this episode, by the way. I don't hate this episode. Reason why I say that is because I just I always look at like little pieces in like shows, or like when like sometimes small details, like when I had brought up earlier about the shooting the deer, nobody heard a gunshot from the deer, and then took forever to find it. What the part of this that I didn't have an issue with, but I was like, okay, she had the medicine, and like I saw when she was putting that needle in, I was like, how would you know where to put it? Like, honestly, I don't know where you take a penicillin shot. I think you get one on the ass, right? If you go, I'm assuming she didn't know that. So she just put it straight on the wound. Like, can you do that? I didn't know. I'm assuming you can. I'm assuming they did their research to like guess, like, okay, if you were to get an infection, you know, and you don't know, where would you guess to put it, and you put it right on the wound. So, you know, I looked at that and I was like, okay, that's fine. And I didn't really have too much of an issue with that. My issue came was after she gave him the shot, there was such a short time period, you know, because he had an infection. Obviously he had a fever of some sort. Right. And he was, what is it? The word inundated or he was just, you know, not very mobile. You know, and she tries to distract these guys by going off on the horse, and she shot that, you know, that handgun, and, you know, basically was just shooting in the air, because even if she was aiming in a direction, she wasn't really aiming. Then they shoot her down on the horse, and I get it. I was okay with that. She fell down and got discombobulated or whatever, you know, got knocked out. And the problem I had, the most problem I had with that scene was Joel waking up, finally realizing there was somebody in the house and hearing them, and then being like full of energy, being able to take down somebody. And then some short time into the scene, going to where y'all guys are talking about, where he's killing these guys. I know this is a show, and I know there's no such thing as like zombies. So like you can only expect certain things to be real. You know what I mean? Like, you have to cut like shows a slack. But I felt like they did a pretty decent job, like through all the other episodes, with like some extent of like limitations for realism, or like time period that would be realistic. And I felt like this one, and it makes sense because you said it was a different director, which I had no idea that they're different directors, but it makes sense. Like, I felt like that healing process was a little rushed, if I'm gonna be like critiquing like that scene, you know, from being like, oh, you can't move, and he's squinting his eyes, to all of a sudden he's like, wah! You know, just jabbing the knife in this guy's neck, and then being able to hold him down for that. You know, I find that bit of a stretch, but it was okay. It was whatever. Like I said, I don't hate this episode. It was a fine episode. It was a good episode, but those little things in there always bother me. And I mean, for that scene, that's what I was looking at. That's what I saw.
All right. Okay. And what did you think about the chase sequence?
You mean the chase sequence, which was the
Ellie gets captured? You kind of briefly mentioned it. Was there anything else you'd like to add to it?
Oh, I mean, no. I mean, they were, oh, yeah, because that's right. There was a part there where she's on the ground, and they were, and one of the guys were like, just finish her off, just shoot her.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy looked like he was going to do it, but the other one was like, he came in the nick of time, I guess, and was like, I'm going to take her. You two carry the horse. You two go look for the guy. Yeah, I mean, that scene was, I mean, it made sense. That sounded right. I didn't have no issues, no problems with that scene. I think that would have played out in a real case scenario, like that, you know. So it was a good scene. It wasn't a bad scene.
Awesome. Thank you. And I feel like they were trying to why they rushed that sequence a little bit with him healing is just like in the game. When you take painkillers or you take something and all of a sudden your health is healed, they were kind of following how the game works. I think that's okay. Why that was like that. Because it is based on a video game series.
That's a good one. That's a good one. That's almost believable.
I think it's believable.
It is. Well, I mean, you could be right. I mean,
I don't think this is supposed to be reality in any what sense.
No, that's what I'm saying. You know.
Most definitely, I think that's what they're probably going off of, and that's why it was like that. So I think that's funny.
One more thing on that. Sure. With the scene where Joel, when he like ties the guys up and he's like pointing on the map, make the guy points on the map, and then he's doing the, you know, the knife in the kneecap and the almost like the torture and just killing these guys anyway. That was a different character a bit from the previous episodes we saw. And it was slightly different because the guy who did that, the Joel that we know isn't, he's still a killer, but he doesn't seem like that violent. And this guy was much more violent. So I don't know if that's just because of the situation with the girl being taken and that's why he got like that. I'm assuming that's why, but definitely seemed like a different character in a way.
Excellent. Thank you. Jeff, your thoughts, sir, on that section of the episode?
Well, I mean, I think Joey called it right there at the end. Joey, I think what it is that, like, at this point, Ellie is filling the void for him of the loss of Sarah, his daughter, from episode one, right? And overall, I think the way this is going to end up playing out is that I'm not going to say this is going to end up being some kind of like, it's going to, the way this is going to end, no matter how many seasons it is going to be depressing and fucked up no matter what. Like, it's not going to be good. I don't see it ending up good. I mean, we'll see, you know, but maybe they'll get Ellie, you know, they're going to end up doing like a Game of Thrones kind of deal where they're going to eventually divert from the games and go in a different, totally different direction than where the games went. The games are limited as far as what's there to work with and whatnot for story. I've done a lot of research on this. There's no way that they can stretch six or seven seasons out of what's in the two games and like the add-on and whatnot. It's not possible. They're already merging the add-on and the first game right in this first season. So, you know what I'm saying? So there you go. At that point, they're going to go in their own direction. Maybe she'll end up cure, like, you know, be able to be the cure or whatever. But either way, what they are going to show us is and this is why I think that this series is going to remain relevant and be solid. I do, across the span of whatever seasons they do it, because of what Nay said, and what Joey said about the fact that, like Nay said, I don't think there is another young actress that can play Ellie as well as Bella Ramsey. Cyber, you can think, say what you want to say. I know you're not impressed by like her Game of Thrones scenes and whatnot and everything, but I swear to God, I showed them to you today. Isn't she like strikingly fucking talented at 10 years old, wherever she was?
Yeah.
On Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I told you she sounded like a little woman, like a little lady.
I mean, can you imagine? All right, bro. Take it easy, man.
I was going to say it for a few minutes, but.
All right. Sorry about that, folks. My friend Ryan's over today.
Take it easy. Take it easy, Brian.
My friend Ryan's been hanging out and watching the show. But anyways, I think that Pedro Pascal was great casting. I think that, don't get me wrong, there probably are other young actresses that could have played Ellie. But I think that it was great casting with Bella Ramsey. Whoever does the casting, HBO Studios, does a great fucking job, obviously. And I think that role in Game of Thrones is partially the main reason why they brought her in and did to do Last of Us. And that's one thing I'll give HBO Studios props to, is when they bring in actors and they're successful with HBO Studios in the series, even as a secondary character or whatever, they'll bring them back. And the actresses want to go back to HBO. They want to work for them, right? So, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's got to mean something. overall, it's just a really well done episode, just in general. Like, I mean, you know, as a whole, it's just, it's as a whole in its, as in its scope, it doesn't have any holes at all. Overall, there's nothing, there's no holes in it. It's to me, it's almost perfect. And it's, there's really, the chase scene is really not a chase scene. She's trying to defend Joel. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, she would rather die than have Joel die. You know what I'm saying? And the reason I think that he jumped up like that from the penicillin is because, again, we're in this post-apocalyptic world, and he's been broken and fucking been dealing with trauma from the loss of his daughter for two decades straight. He's all broken and vulnerable and fragile and fucked up and shattered and shit. Now he has this attachment to this girl, Ellie. She's the same age as his daughter and shit and whatnot. That basically, to him, that's like his own kid now. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so at that point, yeah, he was going to jump out of that bed. The fact that she wasn't there was all he needed at that point. That was enough for him to fucking, he was going to go out, he would do whatever he had to do at that point, I think, to just make it happen. Plus, he also probably took one of those, like Cyber said, one of those like vitamins that pop out of the screen or whatever and whatnot, real quick and whatnot.
Oh,
and
just, a mushroom?
Yeah, you know.
A Mario mushroom?
Yeah, something like that. and you heal. And his healing bar went up by 33%. So you know, I mean, that's why he was able to you know, get down like that. But no, I mentioned it before with Joel. Listen, you don't have to have a lot of like, you don't have to be like really strong or tall or whatever. Like, it doesn't really matter physically. Like, unless you're just a little tiny like dude, like the dude that hit me with the baseball bat, a little soaking wet, 120-pound, 5'4" motherfucker. Or whatever, if you got any ability in you at all, any spine, and you know what you're doing and you're experienced and whatnot, like the Droll is, you don't need much energy to do what he does. He's very tactical about the way he does things. He's trying to kill people from jump. Like when he goes to fucking like where they're at this point in the post-apocalyptic like world, he don't give a fuck. You don't hesitate. If it's on, it's on. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's why I said before, like, I would think I'd do all right probably, or else I'd probably end up getting killed in this type of shit. Because, like, I'd be just like Joel. I would not hesitate. I'd be straight fucking killing dudes and women, whatever I had to do to fucking, like, survive and shit and whatnot. Especially if I didn't take care of her some shit. If I had my daughter with me, I'll tell you right now, if you're fucking with my daughter, I'll kill you and fucking your family. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know I have that in me. And Joel's got it, too. And so does Ellie. All right, man. And we talk about that, and obviously they get into that later in the episode. But no, Joel's not game, man. Like, he knows how to fucking throw down. He's there to kill. And, like, he doesn't hesitate at all. Like, he has no moral compass whatsoever when it comes to committing violence whatsoever. It does not even faze him once it's on. And at that point, I think, you know, but again, Ellie carried the episode without question. Nay's right. They put it on her back, and she carried that bitch. And she deserves a lot of credit for that. I mean, because what Joel did in the episode was good. Don't get me wrong. And they're good together. But she carried that bitch, and her dynamic later on with the preacher, with the cult guy, David, is fucking some of the best acting, some of the best dialogue I've seen other than Andor this year.
Excellent. Thank you. Amazing. All right. So, at this point, that's when we discover that David's camp, they have been feeding human flesh to the people because they were running out of actual food, and that's why they haven't buried, like Jay Rent mentioned, why they hadn't buried the one dead person yet, because they were using them as food.
Oh, that wasn't me.
Or whoever it was. I was trying to give you credit, so don't take it.
I don't want to take somebody's credit. I think it was Naomi. I think it was Naomi that mentioned that.
Jamie, don't play around like that. Come on now.
Well, yeah, whoever said it, like I said, whoever said it, mentioned that. Awesome. Excellent. Great job, people. Anyways, so basically, like I said, that's when they figure that out. That's when we have more of a, you know, that kind of that section where Ellie's still in the cage, and that's when David and James come in, and you know, they're talking. She sees the ear on the floor, and you know, telling them they're sick people, And, you know, we got to do what we got to do, as he said. And David comes in and they go into the cage and grab her, bring her out, put her on the table, or basically going to kill her. And she's able to grab the cleaver and kill David, or James, I should say, and basically escapes. She, at that point, too, she also had bitten David at that point and said that she's affected, and they look at her arm and see that she has bites and stuff like that, but you know, he doesn't believe her. You can tell that he doesn't, and like he's kind of like in shock. But after she kills James with the cleaver, puts it right in his neck, which was a really awesome kill scene, she escapes and escapes into the building some more. And basically then David runs after her and is trying to find her through the area. And we see her moving from place to place, and he's walking around. At one point she throws like a piece of wood that's on fire from the stove, and it ends up lighting the curtain on fire, and that starts to go up in flames. And David doesn't seem to care. And I'm like thinking to myself as it's happening, I'm like, Jesus Christ, guy, get the damn fire extinguisher and extinguish that out so you don't lose your building, bro. Like, what the hell's wrong with you? And so he keeps going after, and he starts talking, something like saying different things like that. And as they kind of play cat and mouse a little bit there, they, you know, basically he ends up like at one point he's in front of her, she's behind him, and he's like talking, and she comes up with a knife and stabs him. And of course he kind of like pushes her and powers it over, knocks her kind of down. And that's when she's kind of like crawling a little bit on the floor. And then all of a sudden she grabs the cleaver and basically knocks him down and goes to town and like just brutally kills him and like going, ah, something like that. And all I can think of was at that point, like, I get that what the situation is and that, you know, you were dealing with a lot, like everyone has said that, you know, the weight of the world's on her shoulders. I feel like still, you know, I feel like could have been acted better, I thought. And I thought it was a little over-exaggerated. But at the same time, it still was really awesome, her just hacking away at the guy, going hacking away. That was really cool. And I was just like, holy crap, she just killed the crap out of him. Like, awesome. And so then all of a sudden it shows her walking out the door and walking through the snow. And she's like all traumatized and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden Joel comes up behind her, puts his arms around her, and she's like, no, no, no. And then he turns around. It's like, it's okay, kid. It's okay. It's me. It's me. And she realizes that it's Joel, and they hug and embrace, and he's comforting her and stuff like that. And basically while holding each other, they walk away, and that's how the episode ends. So what were you guys' thoughts on the end of the episode? What did you like about it? What did you hate about it? What did you think about the kill sequence? How did you feel about everyone's acting? And overall, just what were your thoughts on that final sequence of the episode? We'll start with you, J-Rent.
Okay. All right. So you want me to tell you what I hate about it or what I liked about it? Both.
Everything.
Everything, baby. Give it all to us, baby.
I don't get how that's so hard to understand. Like
my headphones are new. They only work when they selective hearing, you know. All right. So on the last part of it, when she's captured, she's in the cell, she's trying to break out. Then she gets this like scared feeling when she realizes that there's like pieces of that she's on. There's like an ear, right? We see an ear on the ground, so she freaks out with that. She stops what she's doing. Then we find out that's when they're eating people. That's when we find that out. Honestly, I didn't catch that until they made it blatant at that point in time that it was when they kept talking about the deer.
Me too.
Yeah, I didn't catch that cannibalism part until the end when they literally had to show me. And then they kind of got it a little bit. Then they showed the freezer with the bodies. And then I still didn't even catch the whole father being dead part, being part of being connected to that either until Naomi had mentioned that. Honestly, that I didn't think about it until she mentioned it. Joey,
I don't mean to cut you off, but you see what I'm saying now when I say that, like, just the story itself for this episode is just really well done. It's well written and well constructed.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's fine. Like I said, I don't hate it. There's just specific details that I wasn't a fan of. On this part, when they take her out of the cell, then you get like this whole like weird, like sexual, like vibe from the guy that he's trying to like be with her. You know, and then they do the whole like hand thing on the jail cell where she puts his hand on and then she breaks his finger. I was okay with the scene. They get her out and they're like, all right, well, I'm gonna kill you, little bitch, or whatever. And then they throw her on that table. Then she's like, I'm bitten, right? And then they stop what they're doing. I always kind of hate that in like movies when they're like going for the kill and they're like, they're just delaying the kill. Like, just kill her. She's right there. Just kill her. You know, they pulled that on that scene, you know, and then he does a knife where he like puts it next to her head and they stop what they're doing for whatever reason to not kill her and leave the knife there or the cleaver or whatever. And then she uses that to kill the dude next to her, gets away. I agree with you with the whole like the fire in the room scene. They're just hanging out in there, like, get out, like the building's on fire, right? And then they pick such an odd time to have it where, like, he gets on top of her, like he was going to have his way with her in this burning building, right? And then I guess that's where she's like, she freaks out. And after that, that's where she kills him. I'm guessing that was in the game and it played out the same way. I've seen videos where, like, that scene where she's like hacking away at the guy with the knife or whatever. It's like there's a part like that in the video game, so that happens in the game. It was really weird to see it on screen. I guess in the video game it can make sense, and being in the building, just staying there and trying to. Was he trying to like get it on with her in that burning building?
I think he was just on top of her trying to kill her.
Yeah, but he was saying all kinds of sexual things.
Yeah.
If you think that's bad, that's like a 1.75 compared to some of the shit I say to women.
I believe that. I don't know. I just felt like the whole like I'm gonna give it to you here in this building was like kind of off because the building was on fire. It didn't bother me. I said like I'll say it again. I don't hate this episode. The overkill on the guy.
The fact that you have to keep saying you don't hate this episode, Joey, makes us think you hate the episode.
Yes, I know, man.
Well, because I have a lot of like critique on it, and I didn't have a lot of critique on some of the other episodes. And this one, I just partake. There's like these scenes, these big scenes. I have a lot of critique on it. I thought it was overkill on that overkill scene without seeing the game. Like, I don't know if she was just that angry at this guy to kill him like that, to just keep on. Like, I mean, what was she like? She wasn't abused by the guy. I mean, yeah, it got weird for her, but I don't know. Was it enough trauma for her to just start hacking at this guy? I don't know, you know. I didn't feel the anger there. Didn't build me up to that.
It pissed her off that she knew that he was right about how connected they were in their capacity of violence. That bothered her. She didn't like him knowing that.
Yeah, I still don't connect that though. I don't even think they're really much alike. I mean, I don't know. I see what you're saying. I just don't think that was enough for the overkill, but it doesn't matter. It's fine.
No, it was a good shot.
Yeah. Not as good as a money shot, right?
It definitely had horror vibes, right, Cyber? Holy shit, man. Like with the burning, background and everything and whatnot, the blood and everything and whatnot, it gave me like, fucking what was it, Carrie or whatever? What was that one 70s movie?
Yes, Carrie.
I gave me Carrie vibes, man. I swear.
Yeah, well, Last of Us is considered a horror thriller game, so that would make sense. That would be horror. Yeah.
Ah, there you go.
Did you have anything else there, Joey, to add, sir?
No, I'm good.
All right, sir. Thank you. Nay, same question. Your thoughts on the end sequence of this episode, and what did you feel about Bella Ramsey's acting there at the end?
Well, I felt like her acting was on point, of course, throughout the most of the episode. Bringing up again the point of when she noticed that they were actually cutting people up back there. It's like at first glance, you see the part where she's looking down and she's focused on what she's looking at. And, you know, as a person in the audience watching it, you don't realize what it is she's looking at. So it's like I'm questioning, like, why does she look so stunned in that moment? And then when they go into the scene where she, you know, they show the ear, I'm like, oh, okay, it makes sense now. And it just, like, gave me Chainsaw Massacre vibes, the whole situation. Like, you know, body parts just chilling on the floor and whatnot. So I thought that scene was well played because I wouldn't have known either if not for that scene with the ear on the floor. I thought that Bella's performance was, I think that she was tapping into the whole trauma victim type of thing, you know, where you're kind of in shock and you go into like fight or flight mode. So even though like, yeah, the hacking up was a bit much, I think that was well played because I've seen like a lot of films and a lot of shows with people who've been held hostage. And it's like how I said in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, if you look at that end sequence compared to how Bella's performance went towards the end, it's pretty much in sync. You know, it's like you're being held hostage. Then you realize that you're probably going to become somebody's food at the end of the day. And then, you know, I did feel kind of like the pedophile vibe from that guy, Dave. So I think that adds an extra layer of trauma for her because she realizes at that point she was literally going to become a rape victim or, you know, and aside from that. But, you know, like I said, she carried this episode on her back. And I think the whole thing was pretty much well played. I think she did her best to portray a trauma victim. And she's basically, you know, like just free to go at that point. And when she finally hits outside, it seems like it almost didn't, you know, set in yet that she was safe. And then when finally Joel comes in and comes up to her, she kind of like has that one little jump scare, like she's freaking out and stuff. And I think that's just still her being in that fight or flight mode, you know, not knowing who's got their hands on her. But then when she realizes that it was Joel and he consoled her, I thought that it was a nice touch for him to call her baby girl because it's almost like he accepted her sort of like a daughter figure and he accepted the role to kind of be like a father figure to her because really they're all that each other has right now at this point. So I thought that scene was really well played and it wrapped up nicely with the episode, I think, with their, you know, them being reunited and her finally being safe. And so the end was good for me. I liked it.
Excellent. Thank you. All right, Jeff. Same question, sir. Your thoughts?
Well, great job, Nay. Well put, and everything and whatnot. And I appreciate you paying lip service to the loss of Sarah, and how like him saying that like kind of confirms that, like, you know, he's opened a place in his heart now for like that kind of love again, or that kind of like, you know, like whatever you want to call it, whatever it is for him. You know, whatever he's able to experience at this point. I don't know, you know, and when you've been through what he's been through, maybe you're not capable of love anymore. I mean, look at Tess, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, what she said to him.
You know what I mean? Like, she knew that he never loved her, you know, the way that she, like she said, the way that she did or felt the way she did or whatever, whatnot. I kind of can understand that to some extent and whatnot, because I know what it's like to, like, you know, lose parts of yourself and whatnot and stuff like that and not have them back. And it's deep. You know what I mean? Like, it changes you, you know, like what you're capable of, what kind of emotions you can have and what you can't anymore all of a sudden. And you don't have any choice. Nothing changes it. But no, it was a great ending for them to, you know, for it to be such a, I love the correlation of the contrast of the violence, right? And the horror and the landscape of the winter, the bleakness of the winter, it being in the woods, everything and whatnot. Great. Just the visual aspects of how the episode plays out geographically in the different locations. Even though it's compact, it's interesting and it fits. The cannibal part, I don't know how that would have connected really for her with, like, the way she overkilled on David, really. Cause, like, I mean, at that point, who gives a fuck whether you were going to be meat, like food or not, like, you're stabbing a motherfucker. Right. But at the same time, like Neo said, what it boils down to it. You know, she's probably, I mean, we don't know, like, if she's been sleeping at all while she's been with Joel in that, like, little cabin. Who knows if she's even been sleeping at night, right? She could have been awake for days at this point. We don't know. Like, you know what I'm saying? They do live for each other. So she's been, like, sitting there trying to do whatever she can to try to help him. That's all she's worried about. What I think is interesting is that, there's a bond there between Joel and Ellie that has to do with violence, right? She has violence in her, like him. She's just not trained to do it. She's not experienced enough to do it yet. But, like, when they showed us, this may fit in with the game. When they showed us through that overkill with David, I think that was like bouncing off of the torture scene, right? In a way, like, it was connecting to us, like, that there is this connection between Ellie and Joel that's fucking even intense, that where it's the ability to commit that violence, you know, like, whatever it is, you know, in you, like, she has it just like him. You know, you can't, I'm sure there's been flaws in some of these episodes and whatnot and everything. No TV series is perfect, except She-Hulk. But you know, other than that, you know, there's going to be holes and stuff. Stuff's not, you know, there's going to be stuff that maybe here and there that you might second guess. I get where Joey's coming from, being conflicted. You know what I'm saying? J-Rat, you know, about the episode and whatnot, everything. You don't want to overly praise it, yet you don't want to, like, take away from it because you do think it was good. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know what I mean? You don't want to, it's a hard line to straddle sometimes, right? You don't want to fucking.
Yeah, I just want to be honest in what I thought on the. Because I like the first, second, third episode a lot. And I can't think of, like, any bad parts, really. Like, I think you can make a perfect episode. I mean, but I guess it's all opinion. You know, it's real subjective to what you look at. I guess you could just tell the difference, too, in the style. You know, I didn't know that it was different directors. Just different style.
You know what, Joey? I didn't know that either. And I did the research, and I don't know if I just skipped over it or something or whatever, whatnot. I didn't know that either, and that actually says a lot about the direction they decided to go with the series. That they went with a different director for every episode. That's unique. That's not normal that I know of. Cyber. That's not normal, right? In the industry, to have a different director for every episode of a show.
No, that's common. That's how they do most TV shows. Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought they would have a couple in and do a couple episodes of each or whatever. Like, they did Miss Marvel, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, where they had like three or four, but they all, like, kind of, you know what I mean?
There are some directors that do several episodes in series, but majority of the time, like in the last like 20 years, there's always a different director for several of the episodes and newer series. Back in the day, usually you had a consistent director, like in TV shows like Full House, Roseanne, you know, shows back then, they usually had pretty steady directors unless they had some other obligation they had to do. But today's standards, most TV series have different directors because most of them are busy doing several different shows.
Well, you mean unless it's unless it's Chloe Zhao, because Chloe Zhao, when she directs the TV series, she does every episode, baby. All right. I don't know.
So that picture, man, it says it all.
Anyways, says it all.
No, but if you don't mind me asking you, I just find these contrasts, these parallels, and these connections like really, really, really interesting between the characters and whatnot. They're not giving us a lot to work with in this series in terms of different characters, secondary characters. We're seeing them very fleetingly. Like they give us somebody for an episode and they're gone, right? I love the focus of the fact that they're sticking with Joel and Ellie. No matter, even when they meet Tommy, right? Which we know Tommy will come back. But even when we meet Tommy, what do we get out of Tommy? We do one episode with Tommy, right? So they're consistently sticking with Joel and Ellie. They're the focus, just like the game. That's like Cyber said, just to make that comparison. Like, you know, like I don't see how the game, how the heavy game people that find these games, you know, so I'm sure they must be great games. I'm sure if I played them, I'd like them too. But I don't see why they'd be unhappy with this. Unless it's the same kind of shit as, like, you know, the people that get all crazy about the comic accuracy in the MCU or DCU and shit like that. Which I understand and respect, except for the ones that just go overboard with it. They expect this, like, perfect comic depiction and shit in these MCU films. It's not possible. You can't do it. It would never work. So, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, at that point, that's why I find it interesting when I join some of these Facebook groups and these Facebook chats with these people that actually are the ones that love the game. They all fucking, like, swear and fucking bitch about the series and whatnot, talk all kinds of shit. They hate the episodes and shit, whatnot, and everything. They think it's garbage. They don't even want – I mentioned before, Cyber, like, the one time I even talked in there and mentioned that I actually was covering the series and whatnot, but I never played the game. Holy fuck. It was like I was a fucking Jew in fucking Nazi world back in World War II. You know, you should have seen some of the shit people were – the women were saying to me in there. I was like, holy fuck.
It's interesting that you mentioned the video game and, you know, actors in the actual, like, live action version. So I guess James, who was – that's his name, right? The guy that was in the cult? Dude that got the So he, I guess, plays Joel in the video game. Like, he's the voice actor for Joel.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
No shit.
Yeah. So I thought that was a cool little fun fact.
No, they did that. They've done a lot. We talked about that in the first episode review. And actually, at some point, Cyber, maybe in the finale. Oh, Cyber's not going to be there for the finale. Maybe in the finale, I'll actually unwind a little bit of the research I did and whatnot and talk about some of the game tie-ins, because a lot of like a lot of the actors and actresses we've seen in the live action, a lot of them did voice characters in the game, right? They did, like, just like what's his name from the third episode, not Bob, I forget his name either way, Nick Offerman. Or whatever, or the character Nick, whatever the fuck it was from episode 3, one of those guys voiced one of the characters in the game, I think, or they changed the character, whatever. Either way, great final part of the episode. Again, the image with the whole structure burning down, everything, whatnot. I guess there was maybe some rape vibes going on there. I just didn't really like pay attention to that part. I was more like looking at the visuals. And the fire and everything was spreading and whatnot, and the blood. And I liked it when she overkilled him, and I thought it made sense. I never even, like, doubted it. I was like, oh, okay. So you're just going to basically just fucking pulverize this dude. Like, just straight up fucking release. You know, whatever you got in you that needs to come out, you get your chance now, finally. If you think about it, she hasn't had a shot to really open. I mean, she's tiny. She hasn't had a shot to just straight up open up on a motherfucker yet. So, you know what I'm saying? This was her first chance to really release her violence on someone openly. So it only makes sense that she would take it to that level. Because of what Nate said, and then on top of that, because of the inner violence inside of her that she has deeply. And in the game, they say that that's part of her character, is that she has that violence like Joel in her.
I think Dave used that term violent heart in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No. Again, I'm not trying to promote violence or anything like that, and whatnot. I'm not trying to brag or something like that when I mention about what my fate would be like in this type of scenario. I'm just saying that I'm not afraid to admit that, like, I can feel internally that I have the compunction for violence when necessary. And I've been in those situations, and when faced, like, to have to use it, I've used it effectively. Not to the level of Joel, but, like, pretty decent. Like, I'm no joke. You know what I'm saying? So, like, put in that situation, and you put 2 decades on me, I think I'd be ruthless as fuck like Joel. Like, same kind of game like that. Just straight up fucking just kill people, torture people, whatever. Fucking, you know, when he put that knife in that dude and let it hang and stick right in him like that and shit, whatnot, what a visual. Oh, but no, outstanding. 10 for 10 for me, baby. I'm dropping my 10. This is my only 10 for the series. Here it is, right here. Bam. That's right, bitch, 10.
Okay, you gave a 10, sir. Thank you. Excellent. Awesome. So I guess since he gave his rating, we'll go around the panel and see what else everyone else gives. How about you, Nay? What do you give the episode?
I gave it a 9.5. Just because the pacing, you know, just like how it was mentioned earlier by Jay, you know, the pacing was kind of a little questionable. But aside from that, that's bullshit. My only real complaint, though.
Okay. Okay, excellent. Jay Rent, what would you give it, sir?
I'd give it a 6.
Okay.
But okay. I think that's still a, I think that's, for me, that's still a good rating, though.
Excellent. I would give it a solid 10 as well, because I thought it was just really well done. I didn't get the rate buys like everyone else did. I just thought that he was trying to kill her. That's my vibe I got from him, that he was just trying to kill, not a rape vibe or sexual vibe or anything like that. I did not get that whatsoever from his characterization.
I didn't either.
I don't know because he said to, wasn't it that he said the part where they fight back is what I like the most or something.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And he's like, and I could have given you so much. And it's just also just the way he was looking at that other young girl.
They definitely implement.
To me, that doesn't give off a sexual vibe. That sounds that just like he likes violence. He enjoys violence. To me, that does not give a sexual perspective. Vibe.
Yeah. I don't know. I think if you look into it, it'll
even
probably
just the way he was touching her hand when she was in the cell.
Think about it. Rape is violence. It's a form of violence, right? So you're right. Maybe as a pure form of violence, he would violate her like that, like as a demonstration of his capacity of violence.
There was definitely some innuendo about that in there for sure.
Because he's intuitive. I think he could tell that she was into girls and that she wasn't into men. Because she is a lesbian. So I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like that's who Ellie is.
It was definitely weird, but I mean, nonetheless, whether it was there or wasn't.
J Rat, all I know is at the end of the show, we're going to eat you. All right, motherfucker, for dropping a 6. You know what I'm saying? We're going to eat you, bro.
So 6 is not a failing grade in a one.
I'm just messing with you. Come on. Hey, you're adding contrast to the show, man. That's good.
Okay, well, excellent. And great episode, guys. Great. Thank you to the panel. You guys are all fantastic. That is the end of this episode. And we'll go around, plug things, and get the hell out of here. So, Joey, why don't you give a brief update on the Podcast Odyssey, sir? Maybe a preview of what's to come next, sir.
Okay. Thanks, Cyber. On Podcast Odyssey, a lot of the things I'm focusing on right now that I've talked with you guys, you know, on the side about is putting together some stories. I want to hear some good stories from a lot of people. I want to be able to talk about, like, you know, past experiences In the season three of you know, Podcast Odyssey, as you can see there, put a little thing in. We got Jeff in the back with a cigarette in his mouth. You can't see Cyber, but he's in there. You know, I put you guys into my my new post there. You know, we're on Apple, on Spotify, Facebook.
What are we doing, aliens, baby? What are we doing, aliens?
Soon, you know, we have all this weekend to put something together for sure for Thursday. Shoot, maybe even Monday. You know, I was okay with doing like a reaction video. We did that last reaction video and I had fun and I felt like that content, we were conversating and discussing and it was just so perfect. There was no dissecting. It was just a lot of talk, a lot of rhythm in there. And I like that. And I think we should continue that. But ultimately, stories. I want to get stories. I want to talk about the things that are happening right now. You know, what did we see on the news? You know, what are people talking about right now? You know, everybody's talking about a mothership that just came out. You know, people are talking about this mothership that they mentioned on the news, which is pretty interesting. If you haven't heard it, you go type in mothership and you'll see articles where people are talking about that stuff. So pretty funny, or not funny, but great.
Excellent. Awesome. Nay, what do you have coming up?
Well, I don't have much coming up aside from trying to edit and get some videos up, but, you know, I'm working on that. Also working behind the scenes with Jeff on the show, and he's teaching me the ropes, so I really appreciate that. And I appreciate you guys for having me and inviting me over, for sure, you know, despite the little error from earlier. But it was a good show, and thank you, Cyber, for hosting.
You're welcome. And as always, if you enjoy me here on the MCU's Bleeding Edge, definitely check out my solo content under Cybernetic Shark. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Rizzle, pretty much everywhere. I just recently put up my Cocaine Bear review, so definitely go check that out. My Ant-Man the Wasp review as well. I'll be having a couple new trailer reactions up shortly. You'll be seeing the Teenage Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem trailer reaction coming up. You'll also be seeing my review of Scream 6 soon. Also, my review of Champions, which just came out today as well. New Woody Harrelson film. And going to keep busting them out for you guys. Creed 3 review will be up soon too as well. All that kind of good stuff. So, yeah.
Ooh, I like it.
Just like you're gonna like you're gonna be busting one of the massage parlor, right? Right, Cyber?
Massage parlor. I think he's losing his mind, people. It's all good. It's all good. Him in the massage parlor once again. Anyways, well, thank everyone out there in the great land of the
cringe.
Stream land, thanks for watching. And Jeff, do you have anything else you'd like to add before we get out of here, sir?
No, I just want to thank everybody out there for checking us out tonight and enjoying the show. I want to thank everybody that subscribes to the MCU's Bleeding Edge. Thank you for getting us almost 15,000 subscribers. You know, thank you to JRent2000 for being a good friend and a great guest, as always, and fucking handling his business and whatnot. He stuck out, did the whole show with us and whatnot. He didn't have to, but he did. He's good people. And shout out to Nay. Nay's killing it. You know, I'm just happy to have her on the show and whatnot. I'm glad she had a good time and enjoyed the review. She's new to content creation. She is. And she is killing it on the panel like a fucking pro. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I appreciate that shit. I really do. I know Cyber does too. Cyber, great moderating again, as always, sir. As always, your moderating skills are fucking top notch. You know what I'm saying? You're the man. And no, all thing I was gonna say is I'm gonna be doing a reaction video tomorrow where I'm gonna react to this like really ugly, low IQ blowjob I got from this chick recently. Some rough shit, man. I mean, we're talking about, you know, just depressing, you know, like I'm gonna react to that and like, you know, critique it and whatnot, you know what I'm saying? And see how that works out on YouTube, right? But no, I suppose I will not obviously be doing that. No, I will be dedicated to the MCU's Bleeding Edge as always. And starting on Monday, next week, doing our first Monday 9:35 p.m. Eastern, 6:35 p.m. Pacific show on the Bleeding Edge, where I have no fucking idea what we're gonna do. Yeah, it's probably just gonna be me and Nay for all I know, just fucking kicking it, watching some old MCU trailers and shit. But eventually, I'll talk to Cyber, and we will fucking have a bullshit slash planning session, and we'll figure that shit out. Because that's how we do it, baby.
Hell yeah.
Cyber, that's all I got, baby. Take us home.
All right, people. As always, thank you for watching, and we'll see you next time. Peace.